It is a great privilege for me, as an old preacher, to turn to the epistle of the Apostle Paul to the Romans. So we're going to read today from Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, we'll begin reading with verse 1 once more. We're coming to the midpoint of the chapter today. Let us hear God's word. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. It was made so obvious, even to the Jewish people, that this indeed was the fulfillment of the Old Testament Scriptures. Notice verse 5. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end or for the purpose that you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let or hindered hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Amen. We end our reading there with that tremendous 16th verse. And we trust that today the Lord, the Holy Spirit, would even be pleased to open the Word to our hearts and to open our hearts to the Word, that we might receive that which is of real and eternal value for us now and forever, for Jesus' sake. Paul says in verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel. He had been. For years, he was ashamed of the gospel. He hated the gospel before his conversion on the road to Damascus. Paul grew up as Saul of Tarsus. As a zealous Hebrew, he hated the very name of Jesus and this gospel that the Christians were after. And Saul did everything that he could to exterminate the very name of Jesus Christ from the earth. Saul and his people wanted nothing to do with a humble, crucified Messiah. They were ashamed of Jesus of Nazareth, one of their own nation. They rejected him, and they wanted instead a mighty conquering hero like the great King David, who would drive out the Romans and restore the Hebrew monarchy. That is what they wanted. So they were very much ashamed of what was being promoted across their land and into other lands. And Paul, or Saul as he was then, did everything that he could to destroy that name and to put it out of everyone's memory and to destroy it from history. Well, he was ashamed of the gospel until Christ converted him. And he became a true Christian. And you know, we Christians have nothing to be ashamed of in regard to the gospel, in regard to Jesus Christ. Why should we be ashamed of Him at all? I mean, there's no reason for us to be ashamed. Rather, we should give thanks to God because it is the Christian religion that laid the foundations of Western culture. Let's understand this. We have nothing to be ashamed of regarding the gospel in Jesus Christ because it is the gospel and our very religion that laid the foundations of Western culture. It was especially the Reformation of the 16th century that assured the West of a truly biblical philosophy of life. Now, we could sit here all day and enumerate the vast blessings of the West, comparing the West to the East. We could spend much time doing that, and I will limit myself to discussing only one example of how vastly we have been blessed in Western culture. We live in the remains of a once thoroughly Christian culture. The West traditionally, and here is my point of discussion, the West traditionally has had a high regard for human life, especially in the years prior to Roe versus Wade. But even with that, there still remains some signs of that high regard for human life in the West. In countries of the East and Far East, I have only been to the Middle East, so I don't know a lot personally, but I've heard people telling, and I have read and even seen scenes depicted of what life is like in the East and the Far East. I am told that there are, in that part of the world, dead human bodies that may be left lying on a roadside all day, or maybe even for several days before that body is attended to. Even in times of peace, that's the way it is in many of those countries in the East and the Far East. Now, you know, it's an awful thing for us even to see a dog lying out there. But to imagine a human body, well, that's certainly not the case in the West. There still remains in many parts of the South a high respect for the dead, even when we don't know who the dead person was. Barbara and I saw this demonstrated in the usual but the remarkable way on Friday during the Bolton funeral. Now, the funeral procession had to make its way there from the intersection of the Beltline and Westmead all the way from that point around the Beltline to I-65 to the cemetery up there at Burning Tree. And it was absolutely amazing because eight police cars from the city of Decatur escorted this caravan. And they made sure that the way was clear and that every intersection was open and all the traffic was stopped. There was no delay. No vehicles were allowed to move but the funeral cars all the way to I-65 from down here at Westmead. That was amazing. And it was so amazing to my wife that she started crying. You know about how wonderful it was. Well, rather than the dead body being ignored on a roadside, all the citizens that were present on that road were made to stop in respect as the dead body passed by them. That is just one of the marks of a Christian culture that still remains. And we thank God for that. And you know, I have to give you a little sidelight on that. That was the least frustrating and the most pleasant trip down that segment of Alabama 67 that I've had in 50 years. Because I can remember as a child when there was hardly a light on the Beltline. I think at Danville Road and Highway 31, that was about it. And man, you could get on that road and you could go, but no more. Okay, now let us join with Paul. Why should we ever be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ that would produce such glorious results in a society as it has done in the Western world? We should never be ashamed of Christ. We should never shy away from Christ's gospel, but we should share it. Let us not be intimidated, but be more than conquerors through Christ, because we are the recipients of marvelous blessings because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In verse 16, Paul gives four reasons why he is not ashamed of the gospel. Four reasons why the apostle is not ashamed of the gospel. And we'll look at them here briefly. In verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." There it is. He's not ashamed of the gospel because of its origin. It is the gospel of Christ. Christ is the sum and the substance of the gospel. It is all about Him, His person, and His work. Christ's incarnation, His death, His burial, His resurrection, and His present reign as He sits upon the throne at the Father's right hand with the scepter of the kingdom in His hand. All power in heaven and in earth are His as He administrates this kingdom with His power to save men from sin. This is the good news. This is the gospel. It is Jesus Christ Himself. This is the only good news that there is for sinners. This is the only good news that there is for sinners. It is the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel because of its origin. Now, the origin, the gospel is from Christ. It is all about Christ. The gospel is Christ, Jesus Himself. Now, secondly, Paul was not ashamed of the gospel because of its operation. Look there. At verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God." It is the power of God. Now, the believers that were being written to in this epistle were in that imperial city of Rome. And Rome was the center of power, the center of world power, military power, civil power, imperial power. And the thought of Rome struck fear and terror into many of the peoples of the world in that day, because they had experienced in their countries the iron fist of Rome crushing and destroying so much of their wealth and so many of their fellow countrymen. But Paul could encourage the saints, and he could be bold to go there to that city, even though it was a fearful thing for so many people to think about Rome. For Paul, he was longing and looking forward to going there. He could go there and he could encourage the people of God there, because he himself and each believer personally knew a greater power than Rome. Do you know anything about the power of God, the highest power of all, the dynamite power of God that is able to change filthy sinners into pure and spotless saints? Now, Rome certainly stood in need of the gospel in that day, the power of God, because even her own historians wrote about how corrupt Rome was in that time when Nero was ruling. The historians wrote about the wretched depravity and the wicked degradation that prevailed in their city. Seneca called his native city, Rome, a cesspool of iniquity. The words of Seneca. Juvenal referred to Rome as a filthy sewer into which the dregs of the empire flooded. But you know, when the power of God moves upon a sinner, when the power of God moves upon a city, the blood of Christ makes the subject of that cleansing as white as snow, and then equips the subject of that cleansing with holy desires to be clean, to stay clean. Well, Paul was not ashamed of the gospel because of its origin, because of its operation. But thirdly, he was not ashamed of the gospel because of its outcome. What did he say? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That is the great end, the great outcome, the great purpose, the product of the power of God working in the gospel of Christ. It is real salvation. God's gospel power changes wretched sinners into saved sinners who grow in grace and in sanctification. There is in this gospel real deliverance from sin. Real deliverance from the penalty of sin. Christ Himself has borne the burden. He has suffered the full blast of divine wrath against us and against our sin. The curse, the penalty of our sin fell upon Jesus Christ, and He has set us free from sin's condemning power. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now, and let me add here, nor will there ever be any condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans 8, 1. By the gospel, we are delivered not only from the penalty of sin, but we must be very careful here. We are delivered not only from the penalty of sin, we are delivered from the power of sin. We were once sin slaves. We were led. We were controlled by diverse lusts. But sin's dominion has been broken in all who are converted. Paul said in Romans 6:14, sin shall not have dominion over you. Now here's where I want to be careful. In saying that the power of sin is broken in the believer, notice, I am not saying that believers don't sin anymore. John said, these things I write unto you that ye sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I am not saying that believers don't sin anymore. I am saying that things have changed so that we honestly battle against sin rather than just immediately falling down and surrendering to temptation. The gospel has power to deliver us from sin's penalty and to deliver us from sin's domination. Romans 8:1 again, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Our forefathers at the Westminster Assembly believed the whole verse. The last part of verse 1 in Romans chapter 8 is, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's the difference. Before, sin was cleansed from my life and my heart. When temptation was presented, oh yeah, go for it. But now, there is an animosity to sin. Oh no, I fell again. I don't want it. There's a difference. So we are saved, this wonderful product of salvation, the power of God unto salvation. The gospel power provides salvation from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, and ultimately, we are looking forward to being delivered from from the very presence of sin. We're going to a place where there's going to be no sin. We're going to a place where there will not even be an impulse of temptation in our being anywhere, where we will be enabled, as McShane said, to love Him and to praise Him with unsinning hearts. So Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel for four reasons. Because of its origin, because of its outcome, because of its operation, which is the power of God, and fourthly, because of its outreach. What does Romans 1:16 say? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. There's the outreach of this glorious gospel to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel was especially designed for whom? People will tell us that the gospel is designed for everyone. The gospel is the power of God for everyone. No, it's not. The gospel is the power of God for everyone that believeth. And not all believe. So I tell you, the gospel was especially designed for everyone that believeth. Acts chapter 13, verse 48. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. We believe in sovereign grace, but we also believe in the free offer of the gospel. Preach the gospel to all, and those ordained to eternal life will believe it. This gospel is offered to everyone that believeth, not to everyone that behaveth. It's not by our being good. It's not by our behavior. It's not by our good works that we are saved. It is by Christ's good behavior. It is by Christ's works. It is by Him that we are saved. His living for us and His dying for us. Now, what is salvation? Salvation is not by being good. Salvation is by simply relying on Him, resting on Him, counting on Him alone to save us, asking Him, trusting Him that He paid our sin debt, resting on Him. This is salvation for everyone who believes it. It's being brought to the end of ourselves so that we will believe it. As long as we feel like we've got the strength to do it, we will try to do it. But when we see that's a hopeless case, that we'll never be able to accomplish it, it's then and only then that we're ready to crash down before the Lord, fall down before Him, and say, Lord, I believe You paid it all, because I can't pay any of it. Okay. The Scripture says that this gospel is effective to salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. And we're not going to ignore that part of the verse. To the Jew first. What's he talking about? Christ was sent especially to the Hebrew people. He came unto His own. He came, He said, He was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus spent His ministry almost entirely among the people of Israel. There was a time He journeyed over to Samaria. There was a time that He actually met with that Canaanite woman and ministered grace to her. There were some other occasions when those Greeks came seeking Him. But Jesus said, I'm sent especially to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The apostles labored at the first among the Jews. And even after they left Judea, where did they go? When the Apostle Paul went into the cities, where did he go? He first went to the synagogues. The Greek word synagoge simply means they were synagogue together. They were gathered together. Why did he go there? Because he still kept the old Hebrew religion. No. He didn't go there for that reason. He went there because that's where there was a crowd gathered around the Word of God. And he said, I'm going to preach to them while I got them together. Okay. So the apostles labored among the Jews, always going to the synagogues first. When the Jews rejected them, they preached to the Gentiles, because you can be sure the Jews would reject them. Samuel Chadwick, 100 years ago, in his ministry, in the great cities he would go to, he always went first and started his witness at the synagogues. Robert Murray McShane and Andrew Bonar were convicted by this verse to begin modern missions to the Jews. In the year 1839, they made their famous trip across Europe to the Holy Land. And while on that mission, wasn't it a coincidence? While they were on that mission, obeying what they had been convicted in their hearts, God poured His Holy Spirit out in revival on their churches back in Scotland. These forgotten people. People didn't hear. Nobody gave them the gospel anymore. McShane and Bonar said, we're going to go give them the Word of God. And thank God many of them were converted. Now, most of them would say, no, we reject this Jesus of Nazareth. We're ashamed of Him. We're ashamed of His gospel. But praise God, some of them came to Christ and were made into great trophies of grace. So we are not to neglect the Jews. We are to endeavor to get the gospel to them as well as to the Greeks or the Gentiles. For what does the verse say? To the Jew first and also to the Greek. That means the Gentiles. Even though it's Greek, the Greeks as opposed to the Jews meant the Gentiles as opposed to God's chosen people from ancient times. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know, the offense of the cross has not ceased. The world still hates Christ. The world still hates His cross and His gospel. But we must stand with Paul in the 21st century. And not be ashamed. I mean, what do we have to be ashamed of? The whole wonder and blessing that we are enjoying in Western culture is the result, not of Mohammed or Buddha or some dead person. But praise God, all of the blessings that we're enjoying are because of Christ, Christianity, and all that has come to us because of that. The mockings and the taunts of the ungodly will still bother us, but they can't harm us unless we yield to them. Let us remember, it is Christ and His gospel that laid the foundation for true civilization. And those in the West who would dare to mock Christ or the gospel do so with their mouths full and with their hands unshackled by chains. God has blessed and provided for our nation. Why? Because He was honored by our nation in the past. So let us preach Christ. Let us not hide or conceal or be ashamed of Him and His gospel. Because He is the greatest. And His gospel is the tool that He uses to change wicked people into saints. Let us pray together. O God, our Father in heaven, we thank Thee in Jesus' name that Thou hast been so kind to us that we were born in the West and we didn't deserve it. We thank Thee even for those early centuries of the gospel going toward the westerly direction. O God, we thank Thee for bringing Paul to Rome. We thank Thee that the believers in Rome, the church in Rome, was once a great and a true church. And Lord, we thank Thee for bringing the gospel to this land of paganism. We praise Thee for the implanting in America of a Christian culture. And oh God, we pray that Thou wilt give us grace that we would spend our energies to see that that culture is returned to this land. We praise Thee that ultimately it will be. Lord, we praise Thee that Thy Word is truth, that the knowledge and the glory of God is going to cover America as well as the rest of the earth, as the waters cover the sea. So, Lord, we pray that Thou would help us not to be ashamed. Because in Christ, in the Word and the Gospel, we have absolutely nothing to be ashamed of, but to be thankful for and proud of, and something that we want to share with a needy, starving world. Help us, O God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.